This is your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Here comes Lucia Valentina, like a shot out of a gun. The mare races to the lead. Lucia Valentina, what a slashing win in the Queen Elizabeth.
It's time for your complete wrap of the week's feature racing around New South Wales and interstate. Welcome to the wrap.
And a very good morning to you. Simon Harrison with you at 9:05. Andrew Bensley joins me. Andrew, good morning.
Well, well, well. We've never worked together on radio before, Simon.
No, well, not like this.
No, exactly. One-on-one, we're ready to go for the wrap, and I'm only here because Paul Joyce is in Hong Kong.
So we'll have Paul on the wrap next week, but Joyce is going to join us at the end of the hour, though, for a couple of tips for Sha Tin for later. Coming up on the program, Scott Darby from Darby Racing, he's standing by. We'll touch on the win that they had at Kembla yesterday. Mark Van Gestel with the Stewards Report from Rose Hill yesterday. We'll have a chat to Josh Parr. He's had a good week, including a double yesterday at Rose Hill. Simon Dinopoulos from Racing and Sports, he'll help us out with the time form ratings from yesterday. And Heather Poland-Benz, she won on X-Teen in Brisbane yesterday. I don't think we've spoken to Heather before.
No, it's a first with Heather. A great little story, this one with Heather, because she knows X-Teen so well. We've spoken with Kurt Goldman a number of times about her antics, the filly, but yesterday Heather got it right, and we're going to talk to her a little while later on the show. And I know it was a bit of a sour note to finish the day yesterday because she got a suspension out of an interference early in the race. But she was a great story with X-Teen, and we'll talk to her a little while later. And as you say, Paul Joyce is going to join us, Simon, from Hong Kong. And I know a little while later on Tab Talk, you'll be talking with Gary Portelli and also Gary Moore to get the latest. So we'll have all Hong Kong covered. And I tell you something, Simon, it's a huge day for the Hawkesbury Club because they've got their big Christmas race meeting on today. And it's free admission, Simon. So if you're looking for somewhere to go today, head to Hawkesbury.
Okay, well, you mentioned Gary Portelli before there, Andrew. He had a very impressive winner at Kembla Grange yesterday in the first 2-year-old. Scott Darby from Darby Racing is online. Scott, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Now, pretty impressed, obviously, with She Will Reign yesterday. Did you expect that she'd win so easily?
Look, yeah, it was a wonderful day for us and the owners, the way to kick off a filly's career. We expected something pretty good, but I think we're all surprised at just how good she was yesterday.
8 lengths, Scott. Come on, son. You could have given me a text on Friday to say have something on this.
Well, you never know. I've been caught out so many times with good trials, and we've won many trials in the past, and they kick off their career and they don't come on from the trial. But look, we were pretty confident she'd get the job done yesterday. We were only racing there yesterday, so we could qualify for the race next week, the big Inglis nursery. But to do what she did, the way she did it and the time she ran, sort of blew us all away.
So she was just outside 0.01 seconds outside the Kembla track record and straight to the front. I'd imagine now you head to the Inglis next week and then hopefully next year maybe get into the slipper.
Look, that's the plan. Hopefully she pulls up really well. We'll hear from Gary probably by Tuesday, give her a few days to get over that run. We'd love to contest that race next week. It's a great race, big prize money. We're big supporters of Inglis and, we'd love to win that, have a short break and come back for a couple of the lead-ups to the slipper, hopefully.
Scott, we always hear about the high purchases. You know they've spent more than $1 million to buy this yearling and so on. But the Inglis Classic sale is just a bonus sale, isn't it? That we've seen so many good horses, and you've mentioned that Derby Racing have had an enormous period through this sale with Yankee Rose and the like. She Will Roan only cost $20,000. Is that right?
That's correct. It's the same sale we purchased Yankee Rose from. The 10 grand. I had a bit of a joke with Dave Van Dyke. Yesterday, we were driving to the races, and I said, look, have a look at this 2-year-old we've got in the first. We think it goes pretty well. And he texted me back last night saying, I think she's better than Yankee Rose. And I said, well, she'd want to be. She was double the price. it's been a great sale for us. We've had many a good horse come out. In fact, one of our best horses early on, for the first year we syndicated, was our Joan of Arc for 15,000 out of that sale. So, it's been a great sale. Inglis have been great supporters of ours.
And they're the ones that you really need for your clients, don't they? You know, you can't afford to go out and spend the high amounts of money that I mentioned, but the, you know, if you get one, then you get two, and then you get three, people will keep coming back to you.
Well, this time last year that we unveiled Yankee Rose winning a couple of city races, and I thought then we had something pretty special, but to do it a year apart again, and look, we'll give this filly her time to shine, but look, it's amazing. We look for value. You know, a lot of our clients are mums and dads and smaller time players, and it's not easy. There's a lot of competition out there, so it's pretty satisfying when you do find a filly at this price and so far this good.
And Scott, there's a connection behind the owners here with the mother, Courget. Your racing manager, Mark Holland, broke in the dam.
Yeah, Mark's been with me for 5 years. We've been best mates pretty much all our lives. And Mark was a previous breaker. He broke in Courget for Gerald Ryan, gave it massive raps. She didn't quite live up to it on the track. And look, at the time, our clients, we purchased as a tried horse off Gerald to go to North Queensland. We had Stuart Kendrick up there, and we were winning a lot of races up there. And a very good client of mine, Gary Bashel, owned 40% of her. Things didn't go to plan. She was injured and whatnot, and he decided to buy the rest of the owners out and breed with her, and this is the first foal out of her. So we had a bit of background already once we got to the sale.
She-Will Rain's got a bit of charge forward blood in there.
Yeah, she's by Manhattan Rain out of a charge forward mare. Courget was very fast, very tough, just like this filly. It was unfortunate for Gary that he didn't make huge money at the sales, but we really did like her, and he did too, so he stayed in the filly. So not only has he got the mare, but he's got a share in this filly as well. So I'm really pleased for Gary.
And I know it was only a small field yesterday, Scott, but even though she drew outside, she really pinged at the front. That gate speed will be able to overcome a wide draw with any luck.
Well, we always knew she was fast, and I guess when you hit the trials of the races, you wonder if they're going to have the stamina to really run it out. And when she had the trial at Rose Hill, Ben Mellon Road, and, she was that far in front, and he never moved on her. And one of the big questions we were waiting to hear from him was how much was left in the tank. Is she just a fast filly and that's it? And he assured us that there was plenty more in the tank. And that was the case yesterday when Deanne rode as well. I think she was a bit stunned of just how quick she went. She went that fast around the bend. She actually lost balance. She said she really had to sort of ease on her around the bend. So, no, quite exciting.
Yeah, it is. So I've got to ask you about Yankee Rose. You've mentioned her a couple of times in the chat with David Van Dyke. We know that she had that little operation after the spring. What's the latest with her?
Look, she looks super. All through that preparation, even though we won a Group 1 and placed in a couple of Group 1s, she never looked right in the coat. If you saw her today, it's just chalk and cheese. She looks like the old Yankee Rose. She's bright. She's glowing in the coat. You look like you put a saddle on her today and race her. She looks unbelievable. So certainly the operation and the spell is going to do the world of good, and we're looking forward to the winter with her now.
Brisbane winter is the plan. Well done, mate. You pay a purchase amount of, as we've spoken, for $10,000 and $20,000, you get these horses. And, well, Gary Portelli's going to join us on Tab Talk after 10 o'clock this morning. Scott from Hong Kong, given that three-hour time difference. But he could end up with two in this Inglis nursery next week. He's got Sebring Express, who won on Thursday, and now he's got this one. So he's got the acid pump on him.
Yeah, can I just say, big thank you to the Portelli team. They've done a great job with this filly, but also a special mention to Michael Costa. This filly was originally syndicated with Michael. It's well documented. He's gone to the Gold Coast, and any horse we have with Michael, we gave back to the owners. They could either follow him up there or stay here in Sydney. She-Will Rain was voted to stay in Sydney because a lot of the owners were here, and unfortunately Michael lost the horse, but he did a great job early with her as well.
He's a good rising trainer.
Have you got anything heading to the Magic Millions for Derby Racing, Scott?
Look, nothing in a two-year-old or three-year-old. We were planning on sending Scarlet Rain, the Sweet Embrace winner. She trials on Tuesday, but it's going to be too much of a rush now, and we'll concentrate on the autumn. But, yeah, it looks a We may have one or two there in the other races, but we'll just wait and see over the next few weeks.
Righto, Scott. Well, thanks very much for being a guest on our program this morning, and all the very best of luck in the English nursery next week.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys.
So Scott Darby joining us there.
It was impressive. Simon, you were sitting in that studio there yesterday broadcasting all these races, and you would have been watching and thinking, have a look at this thing. When it won by, you don't see it often these days that horses win by 8 lengths.
No, well, you know when your ear picks up to it because you've got your head buried in sheets and you're looking at things on the computer screen, you're getting everything else ready. There's people ringing up on the telephone. But when you hear the caller yell out, look at this thing, you know, it's bolted in, it's shot away. That's when you know, you're lift your head up and look at the TV screen and watch them streak in by 8 lengths. So, but anyway, it looks like that she's a good chance of winning next week. That's
It's interesting. This race is sort of there's a lot of horses there that are probably high up in the order of entry for this English nursery next week that won't be lining up. Serena Bay certainly will be for Waterhouse and Bott. They're expected to maybe have two runners in the race. Portelli will probably have two, as I mentioned, Sebring Express, and now this one, She Will Reign. Vinland's going to be there for Tony McAvoy, and I think David Hayes is sending something up. So, yeah, look, it'll end up being, as I say, a $500,000 race, the English nursery next Saturday, Simon. So it's just, if you've bought a horse out of an English sale, next Saturday is being targeted.
Okay. Now, Chief New South Wales Steward Mark Van Gestel joins us.
Is that a quiet week, Simon?
We'll ask Mark for his thoughts on that. Mark, good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Morning, Andrew.
Now, Rose Hill yesterday, it seemed like a fairly quiet...
Hang on, Simon. Sort of you can't be starting with yesterday, Simon. No. I know you're the host, but there's been plenty going on.
Okay, then. Well, should we begin with Friday, you reckon, Andrew?
Well, I don't know. There's been a bit on your plate this week, Mark.
There has been a bit on, Andrew. We've certainly had our fair share of work over the last couple of weeks, but... Friday was an interesting inquiry, I guess, and we were unable to establish the cause of the methamphetamine positive fob swab. But we tried to do as much as we could to ascertain the cause of it. In the end, we weren't able to.
So in summary, it was found obviously through the horse's system, but you couldn't find. I mean, Chris Wobber obviously stepped up to the plate. All the staff members were tested. Everything was done to try and find where this had come from. But in the end, Chris Waller has to cop the fine because it came from a horse that he trains.
Yeah, look, it's a rule that has an absolute liability in respect to the trainer presenting a horse to race. But look, there's about 90 samples that we took, Andrew, from staff, barrier attendants, officials, jockeys, but none of those samples returned any findings of methamphetamine. So at the end of the day, it's the trainer's responsibility to present the horse free of any prohibited substance, and that's the decision of the stewards to issue the penalty that we did.
Just on the fine, $30,000. In the past, there's been, I think, a couple of cases, been a suspension plus a fine. I think there was one in Victoria, and I think a couple of others with fines. And in this morning's press, there's articles there saying that $30,000 is more than what it should have been. Can you relate to our listeners how you may have come up with that sum?
Look, there's precedent penalties. Say, for instance, in Melbourne recently, where reprimands have been issued, and then there's obviously cases where disqualifications have been issued. So each case really turned on its merits, Andrew, in relation to how we arrive at a penalty. The stewards have to consider, all those factors, what measures, for instance, the stable had in place to try and avoid some sort of human-to-horse contamination. We were somewhat critical of the procedures in place at the stable, bearing in mind it's a leading stable. And at the end of the day, the presentation of a horse to a metropolitan race meeting with methamphetamine is never good for the reputation of the sport, and we need to hand down a penalty that's going to, send out a message to the industry that if you present a horse with that substance, well, likely there's going to be, a significant penalty imposed.
Righto. So that's the Waller one. Now, the James McDonald case, that's likely to be announced more detail tomorrow?
Yeah, look, we're in a position where this week we've been going through all the material, and tomorrow morning we'll be in a position to announce the direction of the inquiry, and once that's announced, we'll be in a position then to go through and hopefully work through to obtain an ending to the inquiry and know, there's been a charge issue already against James, and to say we're going through the material as we speak even, and to make sure that we've covered every base, and yeah, we're hopeful of having the inquiry resume sooner rather than later.
Okay. And can you tell us whether Mr. Gardner, the warned off person, has come forward?
No, he hasn't. We've sent a number of requests to he and his legal team, but that hasn't been responded to in recent times. So, yeah, look, whilst it's going to hinder the inquiry to some degree, it won't stop it going ahead and proceeding, but you know, it would be preferable for him to come and attend.
And, Mark, we had big news from the world of harness racing yesterday after the Inter-Dominion was run, with the Jeff Want announcing that they will ban the whip from the 1st of September next year. What were your thoughts when you heard the news come through from harness racing?
Oh, look, I guess it was somewhat surprising when I found out yesterday at Rose Hill. But I think for our industry, we've certainly got some differences in relation to the whip. We've got a padded whip here that's only quite short, and harness racing, they use a long whip just because of the nature of the sport, and driving horses from behind where they need to have some reach. But look, I'm sure there may be some added pressure on the industry now, but I think we've got some pretty good measures in place in relation to the limit of whip use, the force of the whip use, and obviously the style of whip that we're using. So I think we've got a pretty good balance in relation to our whip rules.
So you don't feel that, I know this has only happened yesterday, but from a Racing New South Wales point of view, you're satisfied that you wouldn't need to make a change?
Look, I'm sure there'll be some pressure with this announcement, but I think in the circumstances, the measures that we have in place, we've been working with the whip rules now for many years, and they've been tweaked along the way to meet modern community standards, but also meeting the needs of the industry. And I think, I think in the circumstances, the use of the padded whip and the number of strokes, was not being able to be struck when they're out of contention, they're not responding. All those things are measures that have been in place in this industry for a number of years, and I think in those circumstances, we've reached a very good balance in relation to the whip use.
Okay. Now, just on the meeting from Rose Hill yesterday, Mark, there were no suspensions, just a few reprimands and one fine.
That's it, yeah. No, jockeys behaved themselves yesterday. There was a few reprimands in relation to some minor interference and some minor out of race 5 and also out of race 7. But look, other than that, it was a pretty quiet day for the stewards.
Cadogan's going to undergo that operation. If only he knew what the future was.
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. Look, he was disappointing again. And Bjorn Baker just said that he'll go to the paddock now, be gelded, and they'll bring him back after all that's been completed and reassess and restart with him.
Just on another matter that we just spoke to Scott Darby about, I'm not too sure whether you saw it yesterday because you were working at Rose Hill, but their horse down there at Kembla, She Will Reign, got the money, and Deanne Pannier was actually stunned just how quick she was, and particularly around the bend where the jockey had to steady her because she was going that quick. Does that often happen, or is it more, obviously happen with the younger horses?
Yeah, look, I did happen to see the race in between races at Rose Hill, and look, it was certainly a horse that was travelling on the bit. I think it ran just over 56 in the race, so obviously it was travelling quite quickly throughout the run. But quite often you see horses that they'll run through the bridle in those shorter sort of races. But this horse obviously possesses a large amount of speed, and from time to time you'll see riders riding horses in that manner to meet the racing manners of the horse.
The 2,000 metre race yesterday, my psychiatrist looked like it was gone around the bend, and then suddenly halfway down the straight it just found a path and kept coming. It was a really strong 2,000 metre win yesterday.
Yeah, it certainly was. I was actually watching the race with my deputy, Philip Zingle, and we commented that the horse was under pressure from about the 700 metres, and in the straight it looked like it was going to just box on the run a ninth, fourth or fifth, but came again late and shows the benefit of having some fitness under the horse's belt and continuing just to ride the horse out on the straight. And I think it surprised a lot of people over the final 200 metres how it did fight back and the way it found the line quite strongly in the end.
In those moments, Simon and Mark, I hate being a race caller because Mitch Manners was calling it. And I think he put my psychiatrist out of his mind, if I could say it that way, that he was thinking the horse was just going to drop out. And then he had to check himself 100 out. Hang on there, the colours of my psychiatrist weaving between them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's been a few famous calls over the years, Andrew, where you know, callers have sort of dismissed the horse's chance in the run. But look, you couldn't blame Mitch for not dismissing it. It looked like it was under pressure from the 700 metres and was starting to give ground. But you know, it was one of those remarkable circumstances where it picked itself up and was able to run out a strong 2,000 metres.
And Mark, just one last question now. Just with the news regarding Azcadelia and racing chief steward Terry Bailey from Racing Victoria has said that he'd disqualify the mare if it's been proven that she's been racing in incorrect ownership. It's up to New South Wales to make the call on whether she would be disqualified from those races through the championships here, including the Queen of the Turf that she won?
Yeah, certainly. Look, I don't want to sort of prejudge anything, but in general terms, you know, AR56B is an Australian rule of racing that if the stewards were satisfied that a horse did race in the incorrect ownership, there is a discretionary power there for the stewards to disqualify. So, but look, it'd require, you know, the stewards to establish that when it raced in those two races here during the autumn, that it was in fact racing in the incorrect ownership, and if that was established, yes, it certainly would be open to the stewards to disqualify the horse from the race and amend the placings accordingly.
Yeah, gee, well, she won 960,000 in the three starts in Sydney, Ben.
So it's a fair bit to
pay back, isn't it?
How does that flow through the system, Mark?
Oh, look, if it was the case, we'd obviously need to recollect the money from the person it was paid to. So, you know, we'd be obviously looking to recover it. And I guess that's just putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
We'd need to firstly establish that it did race in the incorrect ownership. And if it was the case, well, you know, certainly, you know, Racing New South Wales would look to recover any prize money that's been paid.
All right. Well, it's certainly, you've got a bit on your plate. So the one with James McDonald, we expect some news tomorrow morning.
That's it. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, right. Mark, thanks very much for your time this morning. Enjoy your Sunday afternoon.
Good. Thanks, gentlemen.
Mark Van Gestel there. Yeah, she would lose not only the prize money from racing here in Sydney, but also Brisbane and from Victoria as well. So she's already won over $1.5 million, the bulk of which she could have to pay back.
Well, at the moment, mate, they won't even allow her to race because of the dispute on who may have owned her through this earlier this year. So, yeah, it could develop into a big story considering the fact, as you say, Simon, just in Sydney, in those three races, she's accumulated 960,000. So it's going to be a big story. Hey, what did you love out of Rose Hill yesterday? You have been watching it all unfold in front of you. What did you like?
To find a highlight performance.
And it was difficult because, look, we had those couple of wins early, didn't we? Chauffeur and Zubalina. But the rest of the program wasn't, you know, we're not, you know, it's we're in off-peak time now.
Yeah, I thought High Midnight was pretty impressive.
Yeah, for James.
But I also thought that Chauffeur was pretty impressive in the first.
Yeah, no, I think earlier in the week they trialled, and I think Gerald Ryan walked away from the trial initially thinking that, do we run or not run? But they ran and got the money, and he was pretty strong through the line there the last 100 metres. I think thought for a moment that maybe the Godolphin horse, despite being held up there, Coerg, that it was still going to get the money. But Chauffeur, for Josh Parr, who's riding so strong at the moment, got through the inside and got the money.
I was going to say, he had a treble at Wyong Wednesday, a double at Goulburn Thursday, and then a double at Rose Hill yesterday, Andrew, and we've got Josh.
Well, that's why we've got him on the big show. The Sunday morning show's back, and we've got to get him on.
Josh Parr, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's things?
Very well, thanks, and congratulations with your double yesterday. You'd have been pretty impressed with the Chauffeur in the first.
Very impressed. Yeah, he won in nice style. Obviously, as you mentioned, we trialled him on Tuesday at Rose Hill, and look, we walked away just a little bit unsure of where he was in his preparation, because he trialled well, but just very green. He wasn't sure how to track the leader up, and when the leader quickened, he wasn't sure how to go with it. I was pleased with the last 50 metres of his trial, but Gerald and I and the connections, we were left scratching our head just what sort of performance we were going to see come Saturday at the races, just to see how much he improved from the trial. So it was just a complete unknown. But thankfully, the horse improved a hell of a lot mentally and a little bit physically too, and he got the job done.
And he's from a Magic Millions two-year-old winner in Mirror Mirror, now into the second favourite for the race on the Gold Coast at $9 behind Medinity. I'd imagine he'd be a very strong chance.
Yeah, that's right. What he showed yesterday, he's a really classy colt. Obviously, the price tag that was put on him as a yearling. It makes everyone look at these type of horses in a different manner. Like I spoke with Damien Flower after the trial, and we both agreed if he was a $160,000 yearling and he trialled like he did, maybe we all think, oh geez, we've got a really nice horse here. Let's look forward to Saturday. But because he's got such an expensive tag on him, you nitpick a lot in trying to assess their ability, but. As far as this horse going forward from yesterday's performance, I really like the horse. I think he'll hold himself in good shape in the better race.
Josh, I don't know how many of those Magic Millions, if you've ridden in any of those two-year-olds, but they're obviously a high-pressure race in January. He just looks a colt that could settle just off the pace and like yesterday, really come off a high-pressure pace and finish strong.
Yeah, what he did yesterday, which was really encouraging, was how relaxed he was pre-race, how he cantered to the start just in a beautiful manner, like he'd done it 50 times, stood in the gates brilliantly. Just everything he did, his attitude was just spot on yesterday. So as you said, it is a very, very high-pressure race, but when you get a two-year-old colt with the attitude that he has, it makes it a hell of a lot easier.
Now, I don't want to embarrass you, but I was watching it yesterday, and after the race, you came back and you did your all your stuff official, and then you did the interview, and then suddenly there was a wide shot. And how many hands did you shake, Josh? I think it was about 25. I lost count.
Yeah, it was 20. I tell you what, there was a lot of relieved people there yesterday. I really enjoyed the moment, but it's really hard not to get caught up in a moment like that when you've got so many people who are obviously feeling a bit of pressure. All of a sudden, joy and relief sets in. It's really hard not to get involved in that. Yeah. So, I enjoyed it. It was great. I could sense the happiness in Gerald. He was really excited. So, it was just a really nice moment.
We spoke yesterday, Simon, this story out of the first with Chauffeur, and you've just heard how the winners were. What about the other win of Josh yesterday? What was his name? Oh, that's right.
Sugar Bay Leonard.
And who's in the ownership?
Ron Duffesy.
Now, he's in Hong Kong. He's just lapping it up there, living on level 63 of a high-rise building and everything. Josh, did you receive a call last night from Duff congratulating you?
Not as yet. I think he was too busy scouting the bar.
Oh, please. Is he a good slinger?
I won't comment on that.
No, these days it's probably better not to. Yeah. He's a nice horse, this one.
Oh, he certainly is. He really raced the bar yesterday. I actually trialled this horse in his first ever career barrier trial a few years ago now, and he gave me a really good feel. And he trialled well, and I think he got a lot of people in, and because he's always been such a nice horse to look at, I think he might have just sucked us all in a little bit too early, probably earlier than what the horse was ready to go on with. But now that he's getting that little bit older, he's got a bit of racing under his belt. He's really come of age, and as we saw yesterday, that was a brilliant win, and to win from the position that he was in. Took a lot of gut and ability too.
So you've been aboard for his last three, Josh, and seven of his nine starts have been over 1,100 metres. I wonder if Joe would push him out to 1,200.
Well, interesting story there. After I went on him at Canterbury, Joe did ask if I thought 1,200 would be suitable, and I was quite adamant that at this stage, no. I was really keen to stay at the 1,100, and Joe accepted in two races, the 1,100 and the 1,200 yesterday. And thankfully he went with the 1,100 where I was able to ride him. But look, I have to say, after yesterday's performance, I think my opinion on the 1,200 may be slightly I might be slightly leaning towards the fact that he could run 1200. And even if it isn't this preparation, the progression that he's shown us this time, if he continues on that same path, then he'll run 1200, no worries, next prep.
He's a nice horse. Hey, just before we let you go, you got two there at Hawkesbury today on this big Christmas meeting. Free entry in, Deadly Shadow in the first, and The Intern in race six. How are they going to go today, mate?
Deadly Shadow looks to have found a really nice race for him today. Small field, drawn the outside, but he's got nice tactical speed. Look, he's a horse. I trialled him last week. He had to trial to the satisfactory of the stewards because of his barrier manners, and he didn't put a foot wrong there at Gosford. Trialled in really nice fashion, so he'll give the favourite a real shake there today. And The Intern later on in the day gets to a mile, which, looking at a replay, will suit. I haven't ridden this horse before, but it's been beaten for speed in shorter races, and it'll work to the line in even sort of fashion. So the mile today should be right up her alley.
Righto, Josh, thanks very much for your time on the wrap this morning, and good luck with those couple at Hawkesbury today.
Let us know when Duff gets in contact with you, mate.
No worries. Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Josh Parr, 25
It just
to
won't happen,
10.
Will it? It just won't happen.
Duff, no, he's probably Duff, a bit busy.
Yeah, oh, please. Come on, Ron. You could have rung your jockey last night and said, well done. I hope he rang Joe Pride, at least Joe, and said, well done on winning, but anyway.
Righto, Benz, we'll take a break and then come back with Simon.
How are we going for time? We're going all right? Because yeah, I'm normally on a show that runs 4 or 5 minutes late, Simon.
We're only a minute behind, actually.
Oh,
so
well, keep going.
We're not doing too bad. We'll take a break and then Simon Dinopoulos to summarise these races from yesterday.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're listening to The Wrap.
And around the state over the last few days, Bodega Negra won the $85,000 Coffs Harbour Cup for Bruce Hill and the informed Chad Lever. The six-year-old chalking up his seventh win from 57 starts. Yesterday, Murdoch's Joy won the Cootamundra Cup for Whittleseed trainer Craig Whittison with Michael Hegney aboard. And a little town by the name of Moolamine had their annual race day, and Sulamont for Swan Hill-based trainer Joe Kelly and apprentice jockey Alexandra Bryan made it 8 wins from 79 starts in the Cup. You know where Moolamine is, Andrew?
Roughly, but you obviously know a bit more than me.
It's on the banks of the Edward River and the Billabong Creek at the junction there. It's actually the oldest town in the Riverina, and with a population of 350, Moolamine is derived from the local Aboriginal term meaning meeting of the waters.
Gee, you've done some homework
for
this.
Well, good morning to anyone listening in Moolamine this morning.
Well, that's one good thing too. Across the Sky Sports Radio Network, you can travel anywhere around New South Wales, and there's little FM bonus little things that you can just tune into us wherever you are. And these days, you can, of course, click on the Tab app going forward wherever you are as well. So if you live in Sydney and drive away, hey, don't think you're leaving us out there, because we're somewhere on an FM channel.
You'll be able to pick us up through one of the many transmitters throughout the state. Now, Simon Dinopoulos from Racing and Sports joins us on the wrap. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Simon. Morning, Andrew.
Well, the best win of yesterday. Now, we've already spoken about it this morning. She Will Rain down at Kembla by 8 lengths, Simon.
Yeah, geez, it was impressive, Andrew. Looking at two performances from yesterday, She Will Rain being the first one. Look, it was visually impressive. The time backed up the performance, and she certainly looked a smart type for the Gary Fortelli stable. We've got a provisional rating of 106+ on this filly. Obviously, Gary's over in Hong Kong at the moment, so wait for Gary to get back during the week before we lock anything away. But that performance was well inside the top 10 of two-year-olds we've seen this season. Khan's the highest rated at the moment, rated 114. So she's only a couple lengths off what the best we've seen, and given she won by 9 lengths and looked to do it easily, there's plenty to like about her performance. We've seen a few smart horses break their maiden at Kembla in recent years. English went there to break a maiden. Global Glamour and Exosphere all broke their maiden status, and obviously all went on to claim Group 1 wins. Obviously, it's still early doors for this filly, but she's certainly done the right thing on debut. Just on raw time, she was 3.5 lengths faster than anything else on the day, and her last 600 was over 9 lengths inside standard. So she seems pretty smart, and really looking forward to seeing her step out again.
So that was the best performance of the day then, She Will Rain. Where was the next best?
Oh, she was one of the best. I thought we'd focus on that one. Another horse I want to look at is Zumbalina from the Chris Wallace stable. Obviously, notched up her fourth straight win there yesterday. She improved on a previous time for Master Rating to return a figure of 104 there yesterday. She's won 4 of 5. Her only defeat came on debut, and She only won by a neck, but she had the race in firm control from a long way out. It was comparatively with strong figures on the day, and she certainly looked a progressive type for the Chris Waller stable. I think she may line up again in 2 weeks. She says a suitable race. Otherwise, he'll look to put her away and set her for those set weights and penalty fillies in mare's race. Her performance yesterday, I thought she's really good. She's a nice filly and continues to raise the bar. So early signs are good. The fact she's rated above 100 in under 5 starts is a good sign for her moving forward. I think she will progress the stakes company at her next preparation. But they're the two I want to focus on from yesterday. I think She Will Reign is really promising and looked another good horse for Derby. Obviously, had a lot of success last season, and I think She Will Reign hopefully will provide a lot of joy for them this year.
So, just explain, Gary Crisp obviously is in Hong Kong, and he'll be a regular here on the Wrap every Sunday, but just with Zumbelina, so it won by a neck, but off your rating, watching it yesterday, you believe that the horse did improve?
Yes, for sure, Andrew. Obviously rising in the weights and giving weight away to some good horses. Obviously, had of the four of the five engages, so they're coming in off last start peak, so while it's only a small field, certainly looks to be a good form race moving forward. And being a filly, giving away to the boys is never easy. And Archie Barber did really impressed in his return. So big watch on him. And the fact she was able to beat him giving weight, she certainly improved. And the time suggested that also.
Okay. What about the win of Chauffeur? As we've mentioned, we spoke with Josh Parr a little while ago that he's now, I think second or third favourite, Simon.
Chauffeur, $9 I had, second favourite.
Yeah, so, I mean, how do you see his performance from yesterday?
Our line's just dropped out.
Okay.
I thought
it was a pretty good question.
Yeah, I don't think that was his way of telling us that he didn't think the performance was much good.
I don't know about that. The first time he's hung up on us.
No, I'll get Braden to give him a call back.
Yeah. Interesting with Zumbelina, just the way he explained it there. And this is the information that we'd love to pass on the morning after through Simon and Gary Crisp, who will be the regular from Racing and Sports / the Timeform ratings, that many people would have seen Zumbelina yesterday win by a neck and think, oh, that was just a win. But you hear the explanations of the times and things, Simon. It's relevant. It's all important to backing maybe Zumbelina whenever the next start is.
So, Simon, we got you back online.
Simon, you didn't have to hang up. I thought it was a good question about Chauffeur. How did you relate the win of Chauffeur yesterday?
It was a good win, Andrew, with a length only separating the first four. We have a bit of a query on the form moving forward. He wasn't rated as high as She Will Reign. So just, again, a provisional rating just under 100. So we'll wait and see him again. But I thought it was a good win. They crawled in as a sprint home, given by the, you could tell, with the close finishing margin with only a length between the first four. So I think there's a few nice types of Godolphin horses, obviously unlucky there yesterday. So, again, with two-year-olds, they can improve sharply the next start. So, we'll see how he goes in his next outing.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to have you on. As I say, Gary Crisp will be back home next week, and he'll joining Simon and Paul Joyce every Sunday through the festive season into the new year. It's great information for our listeners, mate.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Andrew. All the best.
Simon Denopoulos there from Racing and Sports. Benz, you would have seen on Friday at Flemington, the eldest of Black Caviar's three folds won a jump out pretty easily, this Ossietra.
Ossietra, yes. Again, had that enormous gate speed. I know it was only a jump out, but she was brilliant out of the barriers. And I spoke with David Hayes earlier in the week, and they're planning to give her another jump out at Flemington on the 23rd of December. And then, if everything went to plan, she'll debut at Flemington on New Year's Day. So, look, she'll come up $1.10, whatever she does, because being the first out of Black Caviar. But her gate speed to mine was one of the big things from Ossietra there in that jump out on Friday. So we'll wait for her next one there on the 23rd of December. Simon, Brisbane yesterday, it started off the Origin Jockey Series, and Michael Rodd went bang, bang. And New South Wales lead it, don't they? Rod and Clark yesterday consumed 24 points, and they lead Queensland and New Zealand. But it's got to be virtually over New South Wales after Michael Rod's domination there yesterday.
Well, I thought they were going to Quinella the first and go very close to doing the second thing in the next one. So,
yeah, exactly. Look, it was just, you were on air on Friday afternoon. Michael Rod rode at Doomben, and I think he rode four winners, the first four rides back from Singapore on this short little stint, and they were all winners.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. But in just on Brisbane Racing, yesterday at Eagle Farm, Eckstein won for jockey Heather Poland, and she joins us now. Heather, good morning to you.
Good morning. going.
Thanks very much for being a part on the wrap this morning. This filly, a three-year-old filly, Eckstein, now has had three wins in a row, and prior to that, has got a bit of form behind Sprite, so she's pretty good, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a tough little filly who just loves racing.
Heather, tell a little bit about her. We've had Kurt Goulburn on a couple of times, and she's obviously got a little traits, but just listening to you after the win yesterday, those things seem to be improving?
Yeah, absolutely. She's definitely got a head in the game now, and she sort of knows what she's there for. But she always wanted to do it, but she'd just sort of do herself no favours.
Because it was a case of, I think there one day during the carnival, you know, you take her out, get her to the barrier stalls well ahead of the others. So just take us back to how you've been able to improve it.
Look, most of it is just experience with her. And as I said, she always wanted to do it, but she sort of got ahead of herself. She gets very excited to be running.
Yep.
So just by sort of getting her out early, we've sort of been able to keep her calm and keep her focused on what she's actually supposed to be doing.
Yesterday, how did you travel into it? Given that probably around the bend, from our point of view, we were looking at 10 horses where you're unsure. She just kept coming to the line.
Yeah, they sort of headed her a little bit. Even she was still travelling nicely, but even when they headed her, she just wanted to win, and she sort of had that little bit left and just kept going.
I know Kurt Goldman's got to decide whether he goes to the Magic Millions three-year-old race or the fillies and mares. Have you had a chat overnight?
Not really. We sort of wanted to see how she came through the race first, and we'll sort of assess as she progresses through the week.
Okay. And tell us the Heather Poland story, because I was talking to Simon, who's on the show with us this morning, that I reckon this is the first time that I've ever spoken to you on radio. Tell us your story.
I don't ride very often anymore, so, you know, I enjoy doing it, and when I get the opportunities, I certainly appreciate them from trainers and owners.
Yep.
So just go out and do my best.
And where did you start?
I started in New Zealand with Graham Rogerson many moons ago.
Yep.
And, we've been in Goulburn for a couple of years, and I've had, 3 years now, I think, and had some good opportunities.
And you're doing a lot of riding around the Gold Coast, but riding a lot for Kurt, who's based at Goulburn. So where do you reside? You must travel around a fair bit.
I'm currently located in the Gold Coast. I've been here since, we were here for winter, and I've relocated up here in October, so I'll be up here for a while now.
Yeah, fantastic. And you want to ride, but tell me if I'm incorrect here. So do you want to ride more than what you are?
I certainly am getting back into it. I took some, because I was at uni for a few years, I sort of was a lot more casual. But now that I'm not at uni, I'm sort of focusing more on my riding and, yeah, see how I go.
And what'd you do at uni?
Primary teaching.
Okay, righto. Gee, you've had a really intriguing life listening to you here.
I just like to keep my options open.
Exactly, though. We've all got to do that. And the options are open with her, because I love her. I just think that I spoke with Kurt during the week that she's learning a trade, as you've explained, but she puts in everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She gives her all. As I said, she absolutely loves racing. Every time she races, she seems to come through and do even better than she was before.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done yesterday, and we'll have a chat with Kurt during the week and see. I think she races New Year's Eve, whatever happens.
At this stage, yes.
Yeah, and sadly, this is the worst part of the interview, Simon, a little suspension yesterday, Heather.
Yeah, no, I won't. At this stage, I won't be on her.
Okay, all right, well, we'll wait and see what happens anyway. But well done yesterday, because it was a good story. New South Wales was well represented through the jockeys with the Origin Series, and Peter and Paul Snowden had Ravi, and there was a couple of other horses from New South Wales that ran really well there yesterday. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Good on you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. Heather Poland joining us on the wrap. It's now 10 minutes to 10. And Nick Quinn from tab.com.au.
Oh, geez, the big stars are out this morning.
I don't know if he's back in Melbourne yet. Quinny, good morning to you.
Now, when Andrew said this is the worst part of the interview, I didn't realise he was going to start a suspension. I thought that was the segue to introduce me.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I didn't call an opening clip there, but it was a great day at Rosehill. Got a nice little sunshine out there yesterday, too. Got the tan going nicely, and Now I can see why Priscilla and Jared Middleton are always so tan, because they get to go to the races out there at Rose Hill when the weather's as perfect as it was yesterday.
Yeah, it looked like a good afternoon. What were some of the main points to come out of betting yesterday, Quinny?
Well, yesterday there were some well-backed runners that got the prize, and I dare say I just wanted to point out race number 6, because my psychiatrist was very popular late, 550 into 480, including a bet right before they jumped over 1,200 each way. Now, I'm just worried that the punter might have torn the ticket up and thrown it away as they turned, because my psychiatrist looked to be, it was going to run last at the turn, and then got going again for one of the most amazing wins you're ever going to see, and it gave Joe Pryor a winning double, and punters were very happy with that, and it was a good way to start the quaddie. So that was one that certainly did go to script, and the late money did land. Now, a bit of the theme of the day was that it was big fields and they were wide open races, but with the exception of the last race, all the winners were well-backed and popular, which is good, which is what we want to see. And one of the ones that was heavily backed, and I dare say there might be a bloke we know pretty well that might be pretty happy with this one, was Sugar Bay Leonard, 5 into 380, a heavily backed favourite, came from near last, which was very impressive as well, because most of the runners either led or set just off the speed yesterday, but Sugar Bay Leonard was heavily backed, including a $2,500 bet yesterday, and some $4,000 bets throughout the course of the day as well. Now, looking longer term, Gary Portelli might be a pretty happy man this morning as well, because he's got the market mover for the Golden Slipper after yesterday's opening race at Kembla Grange. She Will Reign, absolutely brilliant, winning by 8.3 lengths, and had her price slashed to win the world's richest two-year-old race from $51 all the way down to $15. Obviously, Andrew Brensley will break the news on where she goes next, but she's going to be running next Saturday.
Yeah.
Khan from the Snowden Stable, who won the Breeders' Plate, is favourite for the Golden Slipper. And as we know, the Breeders' Plate's been an outstanding form line for this race the last couple of years, with both Vancouver and Capitalist winning it along the way. But She Will Reign looked absolutely brilliant yesterday. And the only thing she did wrong was probably not take the turn that well at Kembla Grange. And a few people thought initially it's because she was going so quickly. That's what sort of threw her a little bit, but once she got going again to win by 8.3 lengths, really under a hold from Dan Pedden, it was absolutely brilliant, and hopefully she can follow her going forward as well on the Gary Vontali stable. They look to be going from absolute strength to strength at the moment, boys.
Well, no. I know you and Simon are going to be talking with Gary in about half an hour, so it'll be keen listening to see what the morning reaction is, and he's got the two in next week's English Nursery, as we've learned through the program, Simon.
Absolutely. I just wanted to ask you, Quinny, what about the punter who had 10 grand on Dream About Me into Hector JJ on Friday night? He would have been counting his cash, I reckon, about 200 out.
That was cruel. And the fact that he got about $3.30 on that doublet and ended up starting about $2.25. And you know what it's like, so whenever you get the really good overs, it never normally goes to script.
Dream About
Me did the right thing. And at the 200-metre mark, well, Hector JJ, let's be honest, he looked the winner. And did he die on his run, or was Smolder just too tough over that last 200? No matter what the answer is, Smolder was victorious, and it was a tough pill to swallow for punters of Hector JJ, because he had been well back throughout the series. He was backed into an odds-on quote of $1.70 before getting out to $2.40 following that awkward gate 9. But then he was well back to start at $2.15 as well. So that was one that... Yeah, we probably don't want to talk about too much, Simon, and if that poor bloke's listening, I'm not sure he'd appreciate you bringing it up.
No. You'd be filthy, Simon.
No, anyway.
Now, the tab fixed all these markets open. You mentioned the slipper for March 18 of next year, but they're open for the Magic Moves. Medentity at $7 is the favourite for Hayes and Dabernick. They're for at $9, Invincible Star at $9. And we'll see a couple of these race next week. Brisbane, and also trial in Sydney this week. So stay tuned to Sky Sports Radio. But the markets are there for the Magic Millions 2- and 3-year-old, and many other New Zealand markets and the like, but the Golden Slipper market is there if you fancy something early after yesterday. So good on you, Quinny. I know we're about 7 minutes away from you joining Simon for Tab Talk, so have a good show.
Now, really looking forward to that as well. And if you're a Sydney FC fan, a show you can't afford to miss.
Okay, so we'll get Quinny
good
back.
Good tease on... there, Simon. Yeah. Good tease. Yeah,
I know. He slipped that in, didn't he?
Sydney FC. What's going on there? Anyway, it'll be Tab Talk coming up. And as look, I was talking to Greg Rudolph earlier this morning, the CEO at Hawkesbury, and he said, "Look, don't forget to tell people it's free entry in today to Hawkesbury." But I can't wait for Hong Kong in the twilight. I think that's the same with all of us, with Takedown and Rebel Dane running in the sprint, and we'll have it all covered here on Tab Talk with both trainers and the. sprint today is going to be race five at 20 minutes to six. 5:40 is when the Aussies run there at Sha Tin.
Paul Joyce joins us from Hong Kong now. Joyce, good morning.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Andrew. I can tell you something, boys. Sun's about to come up here in Hong Kong, but the weather's going to be fine. We're going to get a good track. And luckily I had to do this radio show because it made me go to bed much earlier than I would have last night.
Yeah.
I'm going to get through the day.
Well, all I can say is it's going to have to be a good show next week to beat this one. There's been a bit of class about this one, Joycey.
I'm sure there would have, Andrew. The experts kicking off and then the emergency will come in and fill in your shoes.
No. Now, what's going on? As I say, both the trainers are going to join Simon on Tab Talk in about, you know, the next half an hour or so. But what are you hearing about them?
Look, I've spoken to Gary Fortelli and Gary Moore yesterday. Gary Fortelli is very confident. The figures Rebel Dane returned in the Manicato suggest he's right in this race today. The horse itself took a while to settle in, but he said he's so relaxed and comfortable with the surrounds now that he actually wants him to race because he's almost getting too relaxed. So Rebel Dane's doing well. And as for Gary Moore, well, he's big on the weight of his horse, and he's such a big, strong galloper takedown that he wants him around that 6.16 to 6.18 kilo mark. As of yesterday, he weighed in at 6.18. So he couldn't be happier with the horse either going into the race. And he's extremely confident, as he always is, that he can win the race. So he's been to the gym, he's ready to celebrate and do a long run up the straight if he gets the cash. And look, it'll be exciting if either of them can win, but take down winning would definitely be something entertaining for the crowd.
For sure. Who's the main discussion on who's going to beat the Aussies in the race up there?
Look, I can tell you, Andrew, I've got some experts here that I've been scouting out, and the big male is Lucky Bubbles is the best local, and there's a big, big word around for Big Arthur, the Japanese sprinter. So they're the two that clearly stand out if you're asking people for their top pick in the sprint.
Okay, so they're two Lucky Bubbles, and Big Arthur is number six from Japan. So that's the sprint race five at 20 minutes to six. What else have you found out for the other races, mate?
Well, the Hong Kong Vase, obviously, it's a standout there, the 2400. Everyone's declaring Highland Reel a good thing. Obviously, he won the Breeders' Cup Turf only recently, so he's the class runner. He won this race last year, and he's the one they're all spruiking there. The only dangers, look, Big Orange may be able to fill a Quinella spot, and probably the best of the rest is one of the Japanese horses there, number 13, Nuovo Record. She looks as though she's the other one that you'll put into your Quinellas and trifectas.
Okay, so they're numbers 1, 3 and 13. 1, and 3 and 13.
And what about the Hong Kong mile there, Joycey? What are you liking the mile?
Look, I'm going with Neo Realism and the Japanese horse. I think there's plenty of depth to their mile form, and this galloper in particular is coming through a Group 1 last start where I thought he went terrific. Ryan Moore rides, and he rode him that last start from a wide gate. So Neo Realism's my tip. It's fairly popular, but obviously Able Friend, the locals over here, thinking he's back to his best, and he can overcome the outside gate. So the locals are all an Able Friend, but without me being patriotic, I can back Neo Realism, number 7.
Okay, so that's race 7, number 7.
And what about the Hong Kong Cup? Is this a race between Asia Nakari and Maurice?
Sure is, Simon. Look, my tipster's here. It's 3-2, Maurice over Asia Nakari, but the two people that are tipping Asia Nakari are declaring it. So it looks a race in two there. Obviously, both are Japanese superstars. Aishi Nakari led throughout to win this race last year in blistering time. Maurice won the mile last year, and he's coming off a 2,000-metre group win last start in Japan. So I've seen Maurice in the flesh before, and once I see him in the yard, I'll be backing him. He's an absolute beast. So that's probably one of the races I'm also really looking forward to today.
So what are the two numbers there? What are the two horses?
Number 2, Maurice, and yep. Number 1, Aishi Nakari.
Okay, so 2 and 1. Asia Nakari, it was the one last year that won by many lengths, wasn't it?
That's it, Andrew. Straight to the front, set a cracking pace and just never slowed down. So obviously if he can reproduce that effort and the time he ran, you know, he probably wins the race. Although Maurice, he's a freak, so if anyone could run him down, Maurice probably could.
Yeah. And what's the build-up? For those people that haven't been fortunate enough to beat this meeting, what's it been like since you got there on Thursday?
Yeah, well, look, Andrew, you've been lucky enough to cover a few of these, and it's just the whole atmosphere, isn't it? It just builds and builds, and everyone gets looked after so well from the people like us in the media through to the owners, through to the trainers, and it's just very welcoming. They get you out to the track early in the mornings. They bring you back home. They feed you. They look after you, and obviously the big day is obviously what we're here for is this afternoon, and I'm sure once again, you know, they'll get us out there. There's a terrific atmosphere. It's not the atmosphere that Aussie punters are used to, like Melbourne Carnival, Sydney Carnival. It's mainly just for the punter. You know, they're there to bet. The horses are the stars. There's not much sort of around the fringes of, you know, entertainment and drinking and all that sort of stuff. You're just out there, you bet, you watch the horses, and then once the race is finished, everyone goes home. So, it's just a great day.
That was the thing that surprised me, Simon. You got to get there one year. Put it on the bucket list.
Yeah, it is. It's on my bucket list.
The one thing that absolutely blew me away was within 15 to 20 minutes of the last race. There is no one there, Paul.
That's right. No, they even put a fireworks show on tonight after the last race because it starts to get dark by the last. But, yeah, everyone just heads home, Andrew, or off to wherever they go.
They jump on their bikes and...
Yeah, and I think a lot of them work. I think they take, you know, the 5 or 6 hours off and then they go back to work. So, you know, it's funny, Andrew said that the course is packed coming into the last race and Pakistan Stars in the last today, which is a bit of a superstar over here. So they'll all hang around, they'll watch that, and then literally 5 minutes after the last, there's not a person on court.
And Simon, right, mate, they leave by bikes. There's no car parks. They all come by either walk there or... There's thousands of bikes.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
Well, I'll try and get over there in the next couple of years. It seems everyone's over there.
Well, the only people that aren't there, Simon, are you and I. Yeah. So we're going to have to do something about that next year. Well, dear Paul, safe travels back, mate. We'll talk to you during the week, and let's hope the Aussies run really well at 20 minutes to 6 today.
No, definitely, Andrew. Make sure everyone tunes in and has a bet there. It's a great day, and all the best.
Good on you.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Joyce, he'll be in the studio with me this time next week. Yeah, Andrew?
He will be. It'll be a regular right through the festive season into the new year is the wrap. There'll be a couple of Sundays where it won't be because there's public holidays and we'll be on with our full racing service, but it'll be certainly a key player for many of our listeners through the summer, and that's the wrap between 9 and 10 on a Sunday.
All right, Benz, thanks very much for your help, and enjoy the Hong Kong races later today.
We will, and I'll be staying tuned to listen to Poor Tally and more coming up on Tab Talk. Have a good day, Simon.
Thank you, Andrew. It's 2 after 10. We'll take a break and then kick off Tab Talk with Nick Quinn.